All right, let's get started this morning in John chapter 10. Book of John chapter 10. John 10 is the passage where Jesus Christ sets himself forth as the great shepherd of the sheep and so on. We'll go down to verse 9 to start. Need a starting place here. This ought to be plain to anyone here and everyone, we hope. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. Believe it or not, he didn't come just to ruin your fun. Amen? All right, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. They didn't understand what that meant then, but they do now. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray. Father, we come here this morning having already heard the words of Jesus Christ. And Lord, one of the things that ought to mark us as separate and different is our love and embrace of the words of Jesus Christ. We pray here this morning, Lord, that you'd make some things plain to us. Lord, we are worked on all the time. There's a God of this world, a small g God of this world, who's the devil. And he hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And he propagandizes and hypnotizes people in this world all the time. Father, we pray that you'll make some things plain for us. May the trumpet clarion sound forth and peal forth as it ought. And may it cut through our darkness. And may we get the wax out of our ears, the scales off our eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, these folks here standing and listening to Jesus Christ, some of them were, of course, enthralled by what they heard. Others of them, as you can see there, verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Now, it's not the center point of our emphasis here this morning, but it's worthwhile to note that as positive a passage as this is, the passage about Christ's love for the sheep and Him being the good shepherd, even that type of positive truth is still offensive to many. And there was a division among the Jews, again, it wasn't the first time, because of Him saying that. Then it goes on to say, many of them said, He hath the devil and is mad, why hear ye Him? Now I got to thinking about that. I told you before, I've been saved now for about 38 years, so you know that's a while. And for what it's worth, I have never heard audibly the voice of God or Christ in my lifetime. My Christian experience, for what it's worth, has not included dreams, visions, voices, revelations, and so on. Now, one time we lived by the railroad tracks, and there was a train that came by that had a weird noise. And I was having a dream, and I was awakened by what I thought was a trumpet sound. I thought it was the rapture, and I got the adrenaline thing going until I realized that I was still here, laying in bed, and then I really got an adrenaline rush. And the first thing I did, of course, was to see if my wife was there. Lamp, like that. I am thankful she was, because if she had been to the bathroom at that point, I might have been done for. But I thought I heard something once, but I really haven't. And I wouldn't joke about that, because I haven't. And I'm not sad that I haven't. There was a day when men heard the voice of Jesus Christ, the voice of God for that matter, audibly. I mean, imagine what it would have been to have lived in those few short years that Jesus Christ was here on earth. Imagine what it would have been to have sat at His feet and to have heard the voice that created everything. To have heard the voice of the Almighty, the Everlasting, the Ancient of Days, to have sat at His feet and have Him address things in this life, and knowing that whatever He spoke was true, and knowing that, you know, anything that He said, that He could make anything so just by speaking. And yet even for those that sat and listened to God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, even then there was a division among them, verse 19 and verse 20. Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. And then it said, Why hear ye Him? Now, you know, folks, today, I don't know if you realize it or not, most of you probably do, you weren't intended to hear an audible voice of God. I got news for you. God has nothing to say to you that He hasn't already said and recorded in a book. And that's why you're not hearing the audible voice anymore. He said it already and wrote it down so you could read it and know what He said. You should take that personally, by the way. The Bible says further that we walk by faith and not by sight. And it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, there is no genuine, manifold difference, except it's just auditory, versus seeing it with your eyes. There is no genuine difference between sitting down and reading the Bible and hearing the voice of God audibly in your ear. Fact of the matter is, 2 Peter says that we have a more sure word of prophecy than if we had heard the voice of the Majesty on high speak, saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We have a more sure word of prophecy than that. Okay? I know that's a little hard for some folks to take, but that's really genuinely the way it is. And I just want to say, folks, that you know what? We ought to be a word-oriented people. I'll tell you what ought to mark you. You know, these days people expect you to take them at their word. And you'll ask somebody if they know Christ, if they love God. Oh, I don't ever recall a time that I didn't love Jesus. And you know, people say all kinds of things and can say all kinds of things, and I've never been particularly good at it, but there are even folks that can get some tears going right on cue on that thing. I just want to say that you can say what you want to say, and maybe you can cry on cue. But what ought to mark a Christian as being a Christian is not what you say, not what you proclaim, and not what you profess, or for that matter, what you confess. What really ought to mark a Christian is your relationship to the words that God gave you. Now, these folks said, Why hear ye Him? The title of this message this morning is, Why hear you Him? And because I tell you what, there's a lot of people in this world asking that question. It won't take very long. You go around and quote a Bible on the street for somebody to walk up and confront you with, what are you doing quoting that crazy old book? Right? Now, I want to talk about that for a little while. And there's some questions that need to be asked with regard to that. Why do you hear Him anyway? And again, I'm telling you, I firmly believe that the Bible that you hold in your lap gives you access to the voice of God, and you reading that book is the same as hearing the voice of God. I believe that part of the Christian experience is coming and getting teaching and preaching. The Bible says that preaching is the power of God unto salvation. And I believe that there is no real essential difference as long as it's the Word of God being read, taught, and preached than hearing the voice of God. Don't even think about putting words in my mouth. I didn't say I was God. Now, I didn't say the next guy or the last guy that preaches here was God. I said if he's preaching the Word of God, you can accept what he's saying as the voice of God as long as it's consistent with the Word. Right? Listen, he says that he has appointed us ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. All right? So having, you know, we've been through that a lot before. I want to ask you, why hear ye him? Some of you, I hope, are in the habit. If you're not, you should be. I spend, of course, I'm a pastor, so I don't, you know, and I don't have an exact amount of time to give you, but I spend hours a day either in the Bible or dealing with Bible things. I don't know how much time, if you allot time or pages or whatever. You need to spend time in your Bible every day. You need to read your Bible through over and over and over again. And having done that, I can tell you this right now. I'm setting you up for somebody to look at you weird and ask you strange questions. I mean, why hear you? What are you doing sitting around reading a book for, call it an hour a day. Call it 30 minutes a day, every day. I used to go to my car when I worked a regular job. Went to my car at lunch. And of course, everybody else is sitting in the lunchroom, and they're, you know, pull out the poker chips and start playing cards or whatever else. Me, I go to the car and I'm reading my Bible. They never understood. They never got it. What are you doing in the car? And then one of them walked up to the car and took it back to the rest of them as to what I was doing in the car. I was reading my Bible at lunch. I got some strange looks when I went back that day and received strange looks every lunch after that. Why hear ye him? You know, you come to church, some of you folks, 4 or 5 hours a week. Every service that we have here on Sunday, morning and evening, and then on Wednesday night too, God bless you. I'm glad. People say, what do you go to church 5 hours a week for? Isn't once enough? Right? That's supposed to do the trick. Sometimes we have a special speaker in. We come to church 5 or 6 nights in a row. I tell you what, all you got to do is go to church on a Friday night and people will go, whoa. So my question for you is, now that the question's asked, knowing there's a division, and knowing some of you think you have a devil, and some of you probably think you're a little bit nuts, why hear ye him? And I have some answers, okay? I have some answers why I hear Jesus Christ while I'll ignore some other loud voices. First of all, let's take a turn over to Matthew chapter 7. I won't even pretend to have exhausted every reason. I won't pretend that. I don't know that that's the case. But in Matthew chapter 7, I find a pretty good place to start. And there's just a few of these, and then you go find some of your own. But in Matthew chapter 7, go down to, well, verse 24 or 25, and you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ is giving this discourse on the man that built his house upon a rock and the man that built his house upon the sand. And, of course, in verse 25, for the fellow that built his house on the sand, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, that it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That one was on the rock. Verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, again, people sitting around listening to the voice of the everlasting, the voice of the eternal, and when he's done talking, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Why hear ye him? Well, I'll tell you why I hear him. I hear him because he speaks with authority. These fellows here were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his doctrine, it says there, because he spake to them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In other words, what they were used to hearing is what Isaiah described as prophets that peep and mutter. And what they said wasn't clear, and what they said wasn't plain, and they would hum-haw and kind of apologize before they said the rest of what they needed to say and never really got around to saying the rest of it. I've been in churches before where the preacher would spend half his time qualifying everything he needed to say and winds up undermining his message because he never really gets said what needs to be said because he's so busy apologizing for it. Well, I just want to say that these fellows were used to listening to guys that weren't quite sure. There was an awful lot of maybes and an awful lot of perhapses. When you corner a radio preacher lots of times, a lot of times in big ministries, and start asking them direct, definitive questions about what is so, I got news for you. There's lots of maybes and lots of perhapses. Now, folks, I don't profess for one moment to have all the answers. I do know all where all the answers are. I haven't necessarily dug them all out or anything like that, but I do want to say that one of the reasons that I hear Jesus Christ is because He speaks with authority. He is not like the rest of this world. Now, there's two sides of this. On one hand, you got guys, you ask them a question, they go, well, you know, I don't really know, but maybe it could be like this, and all that. On the other hand, there's another category of blusterers where, you know, they talk big and act like they know something that they don't know. I mean, evolutionists are like that, right? Billions and billions of years ago, this happened. Like you know, right? You go study psychology, and you'll find that psychologists are like that. Well, this is so, and this is so, and this is so, and he has this syndrome and that syndrome. And when in the end, it's not scientific at all. It's basically just philosophy, right? So there's lots of blusterers around. There's that. But there are lots of folks that do not speak with authority. I mean, one of the things that marked Jesus Christ was His authority. You know, one time the scribes, he told a fig tree, he said, there's no more fruit on you for good. And the next day they came by and the fig tree was withered away. And instead of being impressed with it, the scribes and Pharisees came to Him and put their pudgy little hands on their hips and said, who gave you authority to do that? Well, who cares, stupid? Right? If you have that kind of authority, then, you know, that is what the concern is. You know, folks, one of the reasons I hear Jesus Christ is because He speaks with authority. I mean, when He spake to the winds and waves, they lay down. When He spake to blind men's blindness, deaf men's deafness, mute men's muteness, the muteness and the blindness and the deafness went away. When He spake to demons and devils, they had to leave. When He told Satan, get thee behind me, he had to go. See, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, I hear Him because He speaks with authority. I need the voice of authority. I need answers and solutions, not more problems and questions. You know, one of the earmarks of this world, I don't know if you know this or not, one of the earmarks of this world, you can gauge whether I'm telling you the truth or not. One of the earmarks of this world is that they inspire more questions and problems than they have solutions or answers. You know, it says in one spot that we should not give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying. Folks, you can go to a college sometimes and get a 4 to 6 or 8 year degree and come out knowing less than when you went in. I'm not saying you can't go to college and get what you need. I'm just telling you that you have to be careful about what you get. Because the fact of the matter is that one of the surest voice in this life is the voice of Jesus Christ, because He speaks with true authority. It's not bluster. It's not bombast. And what He says will work, and there's power behind it, it's genuine authority. This is not appreciated by folks in this world. I'll tell you right now. But I'll tell you at this moment that the only people in this world who know where the homosexual passions come from and the nature of them are Bible-believing Christians. Nobody else knows or will acknowledge. not psychiatrists, not psychologists, and certainly not a social worker. Okay? There are lots of things like that in this life. I know where all the trouble comes from in this life. I know why you die. And I know why you have trouble. It's sin. And you know what? If it's not directly connected to your particular sin, it's somebody else's sin. All the trouble that we have in this world is sin. Do you know where people go when they die? They either go to heaven or hell. You say, how do you know that? Because Christ said so. Okay, you say, well, I don't believe him. Well, who do you believe then? You'll believe somebody. Listen, I believe somebody that presaged what he did in this life by telling what was going to happen, then did it, then died and rose from the dead like he said he was going to do. Why would I believe Carl Sagan when I have somebody that's gone to death, fought the battle, and come back and said, see, I told you this is what was going to happen. Over and over and over and over again, because you will believe someone. I would say, no, no, I search it out for myself. That's what I said. You'll believe someone. You search it out for yourself by going and finding out what somebody else said about something. Listen, I'm talking about the one who is called a faithful and true witness. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I believe Jesus Christ is because he speaks with the voice of authority, which is different than just about anybody else in this world, unless they're blusterers. And there's lots of blusterers around. I want you to see something else, though, if you would. Look at John 7. John 7. Why hear ye him? Because he speaks with authority. It's not a bluster. He knows what he's talking about. He's the one that created you, that made you, and he's telling you what's right, telling you what's wrong, telling you what path is clear, and telling you what path will get you in trouble. Luke chapter 7, John chapter 7, I'll get it, Chris. John 7, and go down to verse... John chapter 7, go down to verse 45. And notice, if you will back up just a little bit, notice once again, verse 43, that there's something about Christ speaking. In verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. That's two passages that we've looked at, and there's division just from what he says. So you need to understand from the very beginning that what he says is controversial. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Because something's controversial doesn't mean it's wrong. All right, verse 44. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? They'd sent them to bring him. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. All right, now you know what, folks? One of the reasons that I hear him is because what he says is different than anything you ever hear anywhere else. Now, I'm not advocating the idea that you just need to have itching ears and you just want to hear and tell something new like the Athenians and so on. But what these fellows said, he said, why didn't you bring him? We hired you to bring him. You're a soldier. Why didn't you bring him? Why didn't you follow orders? Never man spake like this man. We couldn't do it. Well, you know, folks, the reason I hear him is because what he says is different than anything you ever hear anywhere else. There's always those who have something to talk about. We live in an absolute information, it's a cesspool, but it's very active. I mean, it's information, information, information. I mean, you can't leave the house anymore to get away from the telephone because you got one hanging on your belt. And on it is probably, for most, you know, email now and access to the internet and, oh, it's so cool. Yeah, real, maybe. But just think how information crazy we are. TV, radio, there's information on the roadsides. You know, anywhere you look, you're reading something, some sort of information. We have a sign. There's information on it. I want them to read it. That's good. That's fine. But we're, you know, information junkies. like I said, TV, radio, everywhere you turn, internet, computer, and so on and so forth. And you start thinking about those things. And, you know, after a while, maybe it takes a few years. I suppose everything to an 18, 20, 25-year-old is kind of still, it's all still kind of new and cool. But by the time you get to be about 45 or 46, you go, I could cull out a bunch of this junk. Because there's just so much nonsense. After a while, you realize that a lot of what you're hearing is just a bunch of baloney. It's just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, has the National Enquirer ever put out anything of any substance whatsoever? There are radio stations that put out nothing but garbage all day long. There's not an awful lot of anything that comes over your boob tube, whether it be flat panel or not, that's anything but complete nonsense, if not sewage. So what's the point, Brother Stephen? Well, the point is, you know, after a while, all the stuff that they say starts to sound the same. Elvis was spotted at the DQ. John F. Kennedy's alive. In fact, he won a wheelchair race this week. You know, that stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, if it's not, they're trying to panic you. They're trying to scare you. The politicians say this. Every generation of politicians say the same thing. Peace and change. Peace and change. We need a change. We need peace. Peace and change. Hey, folks, Clinton ran on that back when he was in. Now you got to just put in another guy that did the same thing. It's always the same. There is nothing new. The more you hear, the more it stays the same. And at the same time, you never hear anything about the truth. Come on, folks. Hell is not mentioned as any sort of realistic threat by anybody in the world. When you stop and consider that as far... The rapture is the farthest thing from anybody's mind. You know, if I was the President of the United States and had inherited this mess, I'd be thinking, boy, I hope the second coming of Christ comes tomorrow. It's never even acknowledged as even a viable possibility, alternative. None of that's disgrace. As far as anybody out there needing salvation, as far as they're concerned, they may need to be saved from drowning, and they may need to be saved from alcohol, but hell and sin is not at the top of their list. So what's the point, Brother Stephen? The point is that there is nothing that you hear out there that is anything like what you hear in the Bible or when you hear Bible preaching. I mean, you stop and consider. I mean, here's Nicodemus. Bebops up to the Lord Jesus Christ and starts kind of honeying him up, kind of buttering him up, right? Jesus Christ says, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had never heard anything like that before in his life. You could tell by his reaction. He says, how am I going to crawl back into my mother's womb? Never heard anything like that at all, ever. You'll never hear about it out there either. You say, why? Because they deal in junk. They deal in tinsel and glitter and baloney and nothing. Listen, folks, I listen to Jesus Christ. I hear Jesus Christ because what He says is different from anything you hear out there anywhere else. I mean, one person has a kid at home that's dying, and he says, fear not. Only believe. And when they walk up, she's already died. In fact, the mourners are already there. And he walks up and says, why are you guys crying? And they goes, because she died. He says, oh, she's not dead. She sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. And he says, why make you this ado and weep? Because she's dead. Oh, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Folks, he went in and raised her up. She was sleeping. So what's the point, Brother Stephen? The point, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus Christ talks about things that people down here know nothing about. Can I tell you what? The internet, the news media, radio, all the newspapers you want to take, and every other form of communication for the most part in this world, except for Bible, you know what it all is? It's a giant head fake. Anybody that's played basketball or football sees a guy do this. Like that. Well, that means, you know, the defender is supposed to move with the head and the guy's going to go the other way. All the information that's down here is all a head fake. And the real stuff comes from Jesus Christ. That's why I listen to him. I'm tired of being faked out of my shoes. I've been there. I lived that life after I was born again. I lived that life after I was born again. And I got tired of it. So the reason that I hear him is because what he says is different from anything else you'll hear. And because he speaks with true authority. You know, there's something else I want you to see. Look back to John 20, since we're nearby here. John 10. Back to John 10, our original text. John chapter 10. Notice again verse 19, there was a division therefore again among the Jews for those sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? I want to say that the reason that I hear him is because his words ring of truth and power. Why are you listening to him? He's mad. He has a devil. He's demon-possessed. And the folks standing there said, look, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. What I gather from that is that a lot of times, even these lost people knew that Christ didn't have a devil. Because what he said rang of truth. And devils don't speak the truth. They could tell that what he was speaking was of a different timbre than what a devil would say. And besides, they said, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Well, what Jesus Christ was doing was speaking the truth and in power backing up that truth. Right? Well, I got news for you. That's why I listen to him. Because his words ring of truth and power. There is a certain ring to the truth. You guys old enough to have watched the O.J. trial? You know, you watched the O.J. trial and after it was over you went, pfft. And you just, there are things in this world that people, you know, the elections. You know, first it was hanging chads and now it's this nonsense in Minnesota. And, you know, folks, I got news for you. They should have let me count the votes. We're doing the recount. I can figure out how to count votes. I can figure out whether to count one twice or not. I'm serious. You know, they're arguing back and forth, made a judicial issue about these votes that were counted twice. Should they count or not? Well, how many are you? I'm just one. Why should I count your vote twice? I can figure that out. Let me count the votes. Let me be the judge. See, what's the point, Brother Stevens? This world is nuts. They are genuinely deceived. They accuse someone of being mad when they themselves are mad. Listen, folks, because his words ring of truth and power. You know, Jesus Christ steps up and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And you know, there's a couple of witnesses. There's a witness even for a lost guy in that. Because Romans 2 says that when the law is spoken, that someone's conscience bears witness. Even somebody that's lost. And then after you're saved, the Spirit of God inside you bears witness with His Spirit that certain things are true, right? Well, you know, so even when you're lost, there are people that should have certain discernment. And you know, when Jesus Christ steps up and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life,
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a ring and a peel and a timbre to that truth that's different than anything that an evolutionist says. We began about 70 or 80 billion years ago in a glorified mud puddle. And there were some proteins and stuff that got zapped somehow, and that's how I got here in all my glory. I'm inspired. I really am. That really inspires me. You know, I came from a mud puddle. It's an inspiring thing. That changed my life. You see, I mean, sometimes people say things that are so ridiculous. The last thing we heard was about this evolution thing was they've now decided that the living proteins piggybacked into life on crystals. Oh, that, my eyes are open. What an inspiring thing, you know? I mean, I give unto them eternal life. No man shall be able to pluck them out of my hand, right? I understand that. On the other hand, you know, you came from, your great-grandmother was a monkey, and the thing before that, who knows? My life has changed. So what's the point, Brother Stephen? The point is, because his words ring of truth and power, if you want to try it, I tell you what you do. You go read the editorial page of the bankrupt Star Tribune, and then go read three chapters of Proverbs and tell me what rings your bell. In honesty. Don't just go in, well, I'm going to make sure that the star does. You go put Moby Dick. Go read a chapter of Moby Dick. And then you go read a chapter of Proverbs and tell me what dings your bell. Amen. Amen. You know, because his words ring of truth and power, there is a flat, final, definitive peal to a quote from the Bible. It's like a jail door slamming. It's like a judge's gavel falling. It's like a pump shotgun being pumped. Thus saith the Lord. It's true. It's just true. There is a peal to the truth that is not evident in a lot of things that people experience in life. I tell you, folks, if you don't... I tell you what will offend somebody. Long before... A psychologist that charges $700 an hour will not offend nearly as much as Proverbs chapter 4. I'll tell you why. Because there is a peel to the truth. There is a timber to it like none other anywhere else. I'd like you to note something else. Look in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. That's why I hear him. I can't make you hear him. You may choose not to hear him. I'm telling you why I do. I'm telling you why a lot of the folks in the Bible did. And the reason the folks in the Bible did is the same reason I do. Because he spake with true authority. Because what he says is different than anything you'll hear anywhere else. Go get a college degree. You still won't hear what he says like he says it. And because his words ring of truth and power. There's something else, though. Luke chapter 4, and just go down around verse... let me just run you through the chapter a little bit. First of all, in verse 16, he goes back to Nazareth. Everybody knows where Nazareth is, right? I mean, Jesus Christ was born in Nazareth, correct? He was born in Bethlehem. But he was a Nazarene. He went and lived in Nazareth. It's his hometown. So he should get a good response. Well, he preaches for a while in Nazareth. Then he gets down to verse 25. I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. A great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them, none of the Jews, was Elias sent, saved unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. See, what he said there was, Elijah wasn't sent to a Jew. He was sent to a widow. a Gentile widow. That went over real well. Verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Oh, another Gentile. That went over real well. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Now, you know what I wanted you to gather out of all that? First of all, he's in his hometown. And on one hand, at one moment, look at verse 22, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then literally 3 minutes later, they're ready to nail his hide to the wall. Want to kill him. People are fickle. I just want to say the reason that I listen to him is, you know what? He is plain and direct. You know, you'd think he has a good thing going here. They're impressed. They're astounded by his gracious words. But he doesn't let it rest there. He goes, you know, Elijah could have been sent to a lot of good Jews, but he was sent to a Gentile woman instead. Things got really quiet. And he said, you know, there are lots of lepers in Elisha's day, but God sent him to heal Naaman, a Syrian, instead of any of the Jews. And they're ready to kill him. Now, you know what I see in that? You know, whatever else is the case, Jesus Christ is plain and direct. Okay? He is not a politician. He is not politically correct. You always know what he said when he's done. One time he goes into a Pharisee's house in Luke 11 to eat lunch. And the Pharisee is thinking in his heart, he didn't wash his hands before he sat down to eat. And I mean sitting at the dinner table, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you know what's wrong with you Pharisees and Sadducees? As you make clean the outside of the cup, but inwardly you're full of ravening and wickedness. At lunch. Now, first of all, you know what? Ladies, I'm not trying to undermine anything that you're doing in the home. I appreciate a Savior that eats once in a while without washing his hands. He's not some prissified little guy that just has everything. Everything has to be just right before I'm comfortable. I appreciate a guy that'll go to the woods and eat a sandwich without necessarily having sterile water to wash in first. And the second thing is he could have avoided trouble. And he didn't. You know why? Because he was plain and direct. Let me tell you something you need. You need somebody to be plain and direct with you. Because I'll tell you right now, that's not what this world is. Listen, you will spend a lot of money, a lot of years, and a lot of effort trying to get a straight answer about some things in life, and sometimes you'll never get it. Not from this world. I'll tell you what Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is straightforward. Jesus Christ is plain and direct. I don't mean he's vulgar. I don't mean that he's crass or crude. But I mean that he is plain and direct. He will not walk around your sin. If you are an adulterer, he will tell you. Now listen, you can be the woman at the well. Now that woman is standing there. She is ready to receive the water of life. And he says, okay, go get your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. Well, that's a good thing you said that, because you've had five, and the one you have now is not your husband. He called her an adulterer directly to her face. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. My point is, folks, you don't have a marshmallow that you're dealing with here. You have a living Savior who's holy and just and true. And you will face your sins if you're going to have dealings with Him. You will. There are things in the Bible that are just excellent litmus tests for some things. Because if you want to check how pre-programmed you are by this world, you go read the Bible through, including the New Testament, and check what it says about bond service. You go read the Bible through and check what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Syrophoenician woman. You go read the Bible through and check how the Lord dealt with one of His beloved disciples, Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. I mean, folks, Simon Peter thanked Jesus Christ for that. That did not drive Simon Peter away from the Lord's fold. It was truth that he needed. And he took it because he loved Christ and he loved the truth, and he was the better off for it. But that's the point. You know, I love Jesus Christ, folks, because He is plain and because He is direct. I mean, when it came to the scribes and Pharisees, you know, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, a generation of vipers, that's what you guys are, he said. You know, Eli one time received a really harsh message from the Lord through a kid. I'm talking about through a kid. And that message was, you've disobeyed me, and your kids are going to die. And Eli's response was, it's the Lord. You know, we have, in America, have almost entirely lost that particular character trait of being able to accept a rebuke from God. One of the reasons that I listen to Jesus Christ is because He is plain and direct. Folks, I lived in college where things were not plain and direct. I paid good money and went and listened to idiots for a number of years that taught me lies, propagandized me, and tried to mesmerize me and hypnotize me. So I tell you what I appreciate. There came a day that I learned to appreciate somebody that would back me in a corner, put his finger in my chest, and say, look, pal. I love him because he's plain and direct. There's something else I wanted you to see. Look in John 9. John 9. Why hear ye him? Well, this is why. This is why. It's why I'll listen to him rather than your favorite doctoral professor down at the U of M. That's why. This is why I'll listen to him before I listen to Oprah or Obama or any other os. John chapter 9. This fella was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Pharisees proceeded to land on him like a bunch of buzzards to try to discredit Jesus Christ. And this is just part of his reply. These fellows are trying to convince this guy, whom Christ helped, that Christ is a sinner. Notice verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Christ. Verse 25. This is a guy now. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I like this guy a lot. You know, folks, you know, I'll tell you why you should hear Jesus Christ. Because what He says works. What He says works. This guy, there's no question that he could see, that he had never seen before, and that now he could. His parents said, yeah, that's him. He's never seen before, not till now. And all the people around the temple there, they knew it was him. And they knew he was blind before, and now he sees. And they're trying to discredit the one that gives him sight. And he says, look, I don't know anything about any of that. All I know is that I was blind, and now I see. Right? Now, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I listen to Jesus Christ because what He says works. It always has worked. Devils were cast out, blind see, the mute talk, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Dead people were raised. The sea was calm. Fish were caught. 5,000 were fed. Peter walked on the water. And for me, one day I came to a day when I needed something and I was sick of what I had. And in Jesus Christ, I found a way to be made a new creature and all things were made new. I was converted. I didn't always love Him. I didn't always know Him. I have for my entire life been a Baptist. And I lived the first 10 years of my life a Baptist, unsaved, and on my way to hell. Okay? I know that what He says works. I happen to live the next 10 years of my life after I was saved like I wasn't saved. And so I didn't derive a lot of the comforts from Christianity that you're supposed to if you grow in Christ. And so I came to a critical hour when I was 21 or 22 years old when I had to fight back through some of those things. And I am telling you that what He says works. I say that from experience. I say it from watching other people live. But what Jesus Christ says works. That's why I listen to Him. I'll give you a fair warning. It doesn't always work on your time. It doesn't, by the way, always work the way you expect it to. If you go into it, you're most likely not going to know exactly how He's going to do it. You're going to think He's going to do it another way. And when He doesn't do it your way, you're ready to take your ball and go home. You have to be careful about that particular characteristic. Because He's not going to do it on your time. And He's not going to do it your way. And just because, by the way, you get saved or get right, it doesn't annul Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You'll still reap certain crops after you're saved because you sowed them. And they still come up in your life. And He doesn't always cause crop failure. By the way, He doesn't always work the way you expect it, but it sometimes doesn't work when you only half apply it. When you go at it half-heartedly and decide you'll try a little, but you don't want a lot. Don't expect Jesus Christ to work overtime for you if you're not committed. Right? But I'll tell you why I listen to Him. Because what He says works. What He says is right. Just a couple other things. I'll just have you turn to one more passage, all right? Look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Why hear ye Him? Why are you here this morning? I hope it's for the same reasons that I am. In John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is the passage where Jesus Christ presents the idea of Himself being the living bread. He was the fulfillment, actually, of even the bread that Moses fed the children of Israel in the wilderness, right? And He said, I am the living bread. If you believe on Me, you'll never hunger. And He went on to talk about that, and He proceeded to talk about how you need to eat the bread of the Son of Man. And, of course, Roman Catholics have taken that and run, and now you're supposed to take the wafer, and that's Christ. Well, that's crazy is what that is. But in that day, He was talking to Jews who, boy, they had a problem with that too. And so a whole bunch of people get mad and leave. And notice down in verse 67, after a bunch of disciples have walked away, because He didn't, because it wasn't clear to them what He meant, because He offended them, and here we are, folks, we're facing once again a division, this time a division among disciples about some stuff that He said. Now, you know what? Just so you know, I don't want to take a lot of time with this because I don't want to spend all day, but now look, if I were Him and I knew I had offended 70% of you by the way I'd said something, by not helping you understand all the ins and outs of what I said. And you all got up and started walking out. My inclination would be, let me explain. And I'd be backpedaling, right? I just want you to take note here. That's not what Jesus Christ did. Now listen, if you're interested in the truth, He'll give you light. But you have a responsibility once you receive that light. And if you think He's going to break His back to come chase you down to make sure your feelings aren't hurt, it's not going to happen. He will let you walk flat out. In fact, rather than going after the disciples He offended, notice verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, you going too? Let's just stop and think about this for a second, folks. Think about how the mega churches work, and then compare that to how Jesus Christ is treating His congregation with regard to the truth. The truth is your responsibility. It's not His responsibility to make it taste good to you. He says, will ye also go away? And I don't think He's going, oh, you're going to go too. I don't believe it was like that at all. I think He said, so, you guys going too? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, I just want to say that, you know why I hear Him? Because there's nowhere else to go. I lived the Christian life for a while like a lost guy. There was a certain juncture. If you had known me, you wouldn't have known or surmised that I was saved. You wouldn't. And so I came to the critical juncture as a saved guy that a lot of you guys, you know, came to as a lost guy, and you didn't ever quite backtrack like I did. But I got saved at 10, and so I had issues, and then I went through the wrestling match again when I was 20 or 22. I'll tell you why I hear Him. Because there's nowhere else to go. Because whatever else is the case, I spent good money and lived 5 years of my life in an institution where the world was teaching me their stuff. They had me 24 hours a day for 5 years. So I know what they've got to offer. And it's nothing. And I'll just tell you this right now. I don't bat an eye when I say it. Jesus Christ is the last knot on the rope. There's not a plan B. Say, Brother Stevens, if the ministry here at Blessed Hope doesn't work out, and you know something happens between you and God, and what's your plan then? I don't have a plan. There is no plan B. Most people go through life, and they have this working, and then plan B if that happens, and plan C if that doesn't work out either. There's no plan B. Jesus Christ was the last knot on the rope that I grabbed. It was the right knot and the right rope, and it works. And there is no other plan after that. Look, there's nowhere else to go. I hear Him. And I'm not going to say He couldn't make me mad. I'm not going to challenge the devil. I'm not going to challenge him. I'm not going to say, well, you couldn't drive me away with a stick. I had two people say that to me in the ministry. You couldn't run us off with a stick. And they were gone the next week, both of them. So I'm not going to say Jesus Christ couldn't drive me off with a stick. Because there are some bitter things that happen in life. But I'll tell you this right now. I hear Him today because I know there's nowhere else to go. There's an element of desperation in this. He is the only outlet. He is the only door. And you know what? Sometimes it's not bad not to have too many choices. Not too many legitimate choices. At least I know what I've got is real. So, there's nowhere else to go. If you want to be saved, there's nowhere else to go. If you want to be sane, there's nowhere else to go. One last thing, and it's in this passage. Look at verse 68 again. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I want you to know that I hear him because hearing him makes me sure. We know and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I hear him because hearing him makes me sure. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is nothing that replaces hearing the voice of the one you need to be faithful to. Right? An army, once in a while, needs to hear the voice of its commander. Right? Or else they lose their fighting edge. Once in a while, this is in theory now, but the country needs to hear the voice of their commander-in-chief at a critical hour. Frankly, under certain circumstances, I'd rather not. But that's beside the point because we live in perverse times. But I tell you this, if you're going to have strong faith, you're going to have to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And you need the voice of Jesus Christ because you need to be sure. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you this morning for the words of truth. We're glad that they are the very words of God Himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we concede and yield and acquiesce to what you say your words are, rather than entering into the debate of lost men and reprobates about whether it's true and what part of it man wrote and all these things. You said there were things true about your words and then promised to give them to us. So may you help us to acquiesce to what you said the Word of God is and what it will do. Father, I am glad to be able to stand today and attest to the fact the Word of God is true. And I'm glad to be able to attest the fact that Jesus Christ is that Word. So we come to you this morning, Lord. We're asking you to open people's eyes. If there's folks in doubt, help them to turn to the one source that will help them instead of the many sources that will only confuse them and delude them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 334. We'll stand. 334. Thank you.
this morning. We'll be back tonight at 6. Kids, remember to sign up for a youth rally if you didn't do that yet so that we can get our numbers straight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Two good hours, a little more than that really. Two good meetings. We pray that you'll bless this afternoon as folks go to and from, some ministering, some just home to get some rest and back to church tonight. We pray that you'll make that profitable as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.